Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 76, Episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
Men down, where you from?
The podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, April 1st, 2019. April Fool's Day.
What? Oh, wow.
Woo! I gotcha. Fucking gotcha.
By saying it was April Fool's Day.
That's what my friend used to just, I think he still does, just calls people and then says, gotcha, man. I fucking got you. Admit it.
Wow.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'll be Jack in the Zeitgeist again. All the doors that opened up and opened up again. That is courtesy of one Mitch Wheeler, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Uh-oh. Here we go. I put Arsenal on my tab.
Woo!
I put L.A. on the map.
Woo!
I put Zygang on the game.
Woo!
They gon' remember my name.
Woo!
Der Daily, we come with the flame.
Woo!
I got the green by the sack.
Woo!
I got the crunchy little rap.
Woo!
I'm Miles Gray, how about that? Zygang. Zeit. Ging, 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 ging.
That was a dirt ging, bike. Ging. But I transitioned from ASAP to dirt bike. Thank you to Michael Hill at Micsalo, M-I-C-S-A-L-O, for that one.
ASAP Dirt Bike could be a rapper, like a SoundCloud rapper.
Yeah, I mean, they fuck with bikes out there.
Yeah.
You remember, what was it, Peso? In the Peso video, there's a little, little rev up sound.
Mm-hmm. That actually sounded like a dog.
Yeah, well, hey, wait, man. What is a dirt bike?
Wait, I'm very confused.
Yeah.
Anna, your dirt bike's stuff on the floor.
Anyway.
We've always got dirt bikes in the office, pissing everywhere.
Pissing everywhere.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and brilliant writer, journalist, podcast host, Mr. Robert Evans.
Hey,
wow. Oh, wow.
How's it going?
Hey,
see,
man.
Look, I told you, don't do those
He's
April Fool's jokes around
violent.
Him. He's all shook from that April Fool's.
I'm sorry.
I have to disagree with Miles about something, and so I was a little bit reticent, but that was clearly a chainsaw, not a dirt bike.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
That's just how it sounded, man.
Let's ring, ring, ring.
Yeah.
What's that one?
That's dirt bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
A weird, tiny little dirt
bike. Like an electric one that like has like a little 2 gallon gasoline
right,
engine.
Right.
Yeah.
Robert,
yeah.
Will you admit that I fucking got you?
Yes,
I did. Right?
What happened?
Exactly, dude.
Up top, bro.
Up
top.
And by that I mean, give me a high five.
Oh, you're leaving him hanging.
Nice, thank you.
Oh,
well, sound Robert, effects, yes. we're thrilled to have you on. In addition to just being a fascinating individual, you are the host of the biggest hit podcast on this here network, Behind the Bastards, and a new podcast called It Could Happen Here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Two podcasts, which is like having...
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Nailed it with that
Nailed
analogy.
It. Nailed
and those are
analogy.
The sorts of comparisons you can hear on
if,
It Could
if,
Happen Here.
If Behind the Bastards is like a fine Mercedes,
right?
It Could Happen Here is like a fine Mercedes that somebody shot with a rocket-propelled grenade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But not while you were in it. Just
no,
like,
yeah,
while you were watching
it.
From a safe distance.
Well, it all depends.
Yeah, it's true. No, it's fascinating. We're going to talk about the subject matter a little later on the show, and we're going to get to know you a little bit better even sooner than that. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to start off with a little fast food news. Sonic will be serving up Red Bull slushies. Taco Bell may be serving up churro donuts.
Yes,
they're testing that out. We're going to talk about the story of Cruella DeVos because it continues.
Nice.
We're going to talk about the subject of Robert's new podcast, the possibility of a second American Civil War, what that might look like.
Did I get that in
for
there?
For the kids?
Yeah.
I think you got the kids' attention.
I'm trying to do it for the kids.
Yeah. You may have put some
you
of them
You nailed
off.
It.
Thank
we should talk about that video, which is the...
God,
a local news team made a video for a bunch of high school students.
It seems like they were aimed at high school students.
Who were taking boards that week, and holy shit. And then we're going to talk some Game of Thrones. But first, before we get to any of that shit, Robert, I want to hear from you. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
How to make dick candle.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And how to make your own dick into a candle,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
The, that's the goal, is how to mold it and like then
just put a wick in the hole.
Done,
tried that,
bro.
Yeah. Spent like a lot of time at the doctors, to be honest.
It's my favorite kind of video.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're trying to make a real penis impression candle?
I haven't taken any steps, but I was curious about it.
How it's even made.
And so I've been looking into the process.
Did you see a penis candle and you're like, oh,
no,
I can make one
no,
of those?
No, it was just an idea
just a
that
thought
occurred.
That hit you?
Sometimes when I'm trying to fall asleep, that's usually when I do stuff, when I Google things that aren't like specifically related to my job. Where
right,
I'm like,
right.
It'll just be like, I wonder, how would you do that?
Yeah.
It's like when I looked into how to make liquor out of blood. Like that's what I Google at like 1:30 in the morning when I'm trying to fall asleep.
That's gross.
You can make liquor out of blood?
Well, no. I wanted to know if you could.
If you could.
And I found a discussion as to how.
Not that you can. That I want to know if you could.
You can out of another human bodily function,
you
right?
Can, you
guano,
can, you can absolutely make liquor out of poop.
Yeah.
You can make liquor out of a lot of things.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
So, hey, gang out there, keep trying.
Keep trying.
Shoot for the moon.
Shoot for the poo.
So you just like, I just want to get shoot for the poon?
No. I was trying to make a poo joke, but
that
means something
unfortunate
else.
Unfortunate, because coincidence.
Yeah, really sad.
Just trying to get into your mind, which is a terrifying place to be.
Yeah.
But you were just drifting off, and then a candle shaped like a dick, like a photorealistic dick? Like, what are we talking
about?
Yeah,
here? I thought it would be funny to give as a gift to, like, particularly male friends and colleagues of mine.
Yeah.
Like, a candle that's just, like, my penis, but a candle.
Oh, it's your penis.
Yeah, that's what I was looking into.
Oh,
so I wanted
okay.
to know what would be involved in that process, because Christmas is just around the corner.
Right.
And I figure I should start, like, figuring that out now. And I didn't learn much because I fell asleep, had some weird dreams.
Yeah.
But I might get back into it.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well. This is all fascinating stuff. What is something you think is underrated?
Cigarettes.
Underrated. Cigarettes.
Yeah, I think not for...
You heard it here first, kids.
Not for young people.
The secret to being cool.
Not for like teens and millennials.
Right.
But I think we should really get the boomers back on the cigarette train.
Yeah.
I think we should really push the cigarettes hard on the over 40 crowd and just kind of clear that out.
Just for cigarettes. Yeah. Free cigs.
They're good now.
If you're 45.
They're good for you now.
That is a population control mechanism you're saying is
it's
underrated?
It's not about the population. It's more about the next couple of elections.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
How you gonna, I mean,
because then it's fun.
We got to find a hook, though, if we're really going to get people like, they're like, I don't know if you saw this study, y'all.
I think we really drive. Well, no, we can't drive because the ones that really need it don't believe in climate change. This is tough. It's tough to figure out the ad campaign. I feel like Don Draper.
I think if every cigarette smoked brings Hillary Clinton closer to death,
right?
Then people would.
If America
like
smokes
that.
An extra 150 million cigarettes, we'll indict Hillary Clinton.
There you go.
That's right. How we fucking do it.
Okay.
I think we know how to save this country, guys.
Yeah. If any generation is just going to hang around way too long at the party, though, I do think it's going to be the boomers.
And they've already puked on the floor.
Right.
And they still haven't.
They did that in the 60s.
Yeah, they didn't clean it up or leave.
I guess the 70s. Yeah. They were all right. They got a good start in the 60s.
There's a whole thing of like how grandparents who are sort of the boomer and slightly older generation, the greatest generation, like, that because a lot of people are not, like a lot of grandparents are having to enter childcare, that it's like that's this other force that's completely hollowing out retirement for baby boomers and stuff.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. A lot of people having to step in because sometimes the parents, man.
Yeah, when you research.
And a lot of it has to do with the opioid epidemic, actually.
Yeah. They say that the millennials are actually closest to greatest generation, like in terms of their values.
Baller status.
Yeah, just like being total ballers.
Yeah, dude.
No, just in terms of being more civic minded and like socially minded.
Yeah, I remember when I stormed.
Wanting to fuck with some Nazis.
Yeah, dude, right. Storming the beaches of that Best Buy for Black
having
Friday.
Having to deal with Nazis. What is something you think is overrated?
Well, this ties into that video we were talking about, but TV news, I think it's a bad idea. I've come to the conclusion that like, maybe there's no benefit to daily TV news. Maybe it's 99% or more toxic to just like our national discourse and the whole country. Maybe it's almost impossible to deliver like reasonable, well thought out, accurate information in the format that TV news currently exists within.
What is it about TV? Because this is something like I've seen really talented people have to like be forced into a TV format and it like they just like fuck it up some, yeah. Like they just make them worse versions of themselves. Like I've seen it, it's just like something about TV that really doesn't work except for The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's the strict time constraints. I think that's part of it. I think it's partly the ad supported thing, although you know you have that with newspapers too. I think it's like just the amount that they try to cover, so you can't. Like some subjects, like if you're talking about the fucking Syrian civil war, there's nothing useful you can deliver to people in 30 seconds,
right.
Which is what you're going to have.
Like, right. It's also this conventional wisdom that took over that was just like, no, you got to keep their eyes and brains buzzing like with new changes and bright flashing shit every 4 seconds.
Yeah. Wasn't that anecdote about Bill Shine when he was working at Fox was just like there was a fire at a building and he just made all the coverage just about the fire and he's like, just show the fire.
Yeah.
Just show the
fire.
That's
all they want.
They want that
motion. Because it's really not about informing people. No. It's just about how do you tap into their fears or
keep
ideologies.
Them engaged.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those things like the fucking Momo thing that like came out. Like that was like a big TV news thing. I don't think if like it was all newspapers and online articles and stuff, like, yeah, there would have been some sensational bullshit, but like none of like the legacy TV media ran with that to an extent. Like the New York Times, any reporter who's worth his salt who starts looking at that is going to learn in like 20 seconds, oh, this is nothing.
Right.
Right.
Like, okay, well, that's the story, that this is nothing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think from a cultural perspective, Momo was interesting because it was a monster face that you got to put on something that really is out there and terrible, which is like the children's entertainment on the internet is really fucked. And so they were just like, yeah.
Oh, that was the thing that was allegedly a video that was convincing kids to like murder their families.
Yeah.
Or some shit.
Which is a thing that people on YouTube have tried to do. It just wasn't real with like Momo had nothing to do
with it.
It
wasn't
it was
a
just
widespread
some weird
thing.
Japanese art piece.
Yeah. Nobody had been hurt or killed or anything. But there is just heaps and heaps of garbage that know exactly how to hypnotize 2-year-olds.
Yeah, I guess.
And that parents are just like, yeah, here you go. Here's a smartphone.
Yeah, that feeds into my issue more than just TV news is just like the amount of poison that people ingest via their eyes that we're all just like, yeah, this is just the way it is.
Yeah.
How else could it be?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Your brain diet. We've talked before. We've talked before about how like people think about their diet a little bit more constructively now, but we should also be thinking about our media diets.
Yeah, I even think about that.
Purify.
Yeah, like because I watch a lot of trash shows.
Yeah,
and I realize too, like I'm mainlining just a lot of vapid conflict. Like on its surface, the energy that's coming off the screen is just negative.
Yeah,
that's why I was starting to triage my garbage TV because I'm like I can't just keep giving it that, like I have to balance it out with something because I realize like I'm actually in the midst of an experiment to see like if I just only keep it to messes, okay?
Yeah.
I like messy drama on a reality show, but shit where it's just like people being like, this person fucking sucks, and like that shit, I realize I'm like, the more I watch that, it's subtly, I mean, not that like I think I'm more stupid for only figuring this out now or sort of being aware of it, how much that sort of can affect my mood a little bit, even on a very subconscious level, even though I'm not like fully buying into what I'm seeing. It's just that's what I'm giving myself. So, you know, I switched it up and I watch, you know, Muppets and shit.
Yeah.
Muppets is now I only like watch the Sesame Street.
It's really Muppets.
It's like a salad of
swung the other way. I'm like, yo,
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
I got to. It feels relaxing.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
No, but there's
you
definitely
what you're giving yourself, you know?
Yeah. Like I've noticed there are certain podcasts that if I watch, I feel like
you listen to them.
No, I watch them.
Wow, damn.
Just watch the cursor go.
You got Sixth Sense over here.
There are certain podcasts that if I listen to them, I will feel like garbage after. It's just, it's the same thing as fast food. It's just like you have to pay attention to how different things you're putting into your brain make you feel and like affect you.
Because I went on a streak of watching old Dateline episodes on YouTube like 2 years ago. It was all I was watching for like maybe 3 week period because I was just like, yes, bro, more.
That's terrible.
And it had me fucking all kinds of fucked. Like I became a little more susceptible to paranoia or just like, or my confirmation bias was a little more centered around like the really dark shit.
Yep.
And I was like, oh yeah, because I'm just that's what I'm eating all day.
I can say like people ask me all the time because of Behind the Bastards, I'm always reading about like terrible people. Like, doesn't that fuck you up? And I joke about like, so I do a bunch of drugs. But like,
you're
the
like
reality
I'm already
is that,
fucked up.
The reality is that like reading a good book about like a guy like Hitler or a guy like Stalin or one of these terrible people that doesn't put me in a bad place. If it's really good work, like it's
right.
It's edifying. You yeah. learn something. I feel better after it. I feel bad on Twitter, like in YouTube and stuff. Like those make me feel like shit. Like nothing has convinced me to go buy more guns than like bad Twitter binges where I'm like, oh my God, everything's falling apart.
Right, right, right. And that is sort of your vice or one of your
yeah,
vices.
Yeah, that is definitely one.
Twitter
gun
buying.
Is a thousand. Oh, gun, no, gun buying, I mean, shooting is a relatively healthy hobby.
Okay.
I would consider it. Like it's yeah. it's like a technical skill. You get out of the house, you do something. Gun buying is debatably healthy, but like the actual act of getting better at a physical task, I think is usually a good thing.
Right. But yeah. the fact that like your backyard looks like that bunker from Terminator 2 that the people have been building up,
well,
getting
you know,
ready
look,
for the coming of
they
Skynet.
Haven't found the mailman,
right.
so technically no one can connect that to anything I may or may not have fired on in the
right.
night. You know,
there you go.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
That you just have to let the cops arrest people. You hear about this story from Chicago?
Uh-oh.
Where like two Chicago PD officers were trying to arrest this guy for drugs, and all of his friends came out in the street and forced them to let him out and give him back his drugs.
What? Really?
Yeah, this like crowd surrounded these cops and were like, nah.
Like, where?
In fucking Chicago.
Was this recently?
I think it was Chicago. Yeah, like Chicago, like crowd forces police to let suspect go or something like that. Should bring it up. Yeah, I just read about it like yesterday. And yeah, I think people have this.
That's the version of the sovereign citizen thing that actually works.
Yeah, well.
Is numbers.
A horde of angry people yeah. being like, nah, guys.
Right.
Like this ain't happening today.
Yeah.
Is it? I see it on a Blue Lives Matter. Oh, wait, no. Let me go to the Chicago
yeah,
Tribune.
Yeah, go to the I'm Chicago like, Tribune. Yeah.
Drug suspect escapes after group threatens Chicago cop on
right?
West Side.
Right? Isn't that fucking great?
Said they were searching for a drug suspect who escaped arrest when a group of men threatened to harm the officer, taking him into custody on the city's West Side. Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Just do that. Don't let him arrest your friends.
Yeah. Also, don't get shot.
Don't get shot.
Yeah.
But
oh,
if there's
wow.
more of you than there are bullets...
Simple math, huh?
Simple math. Right.
Wow, that is so. I
Isn't
mean,
that a great story?
That's just the kind of shit that you see in a movie,
yeah. Right?
Where, yeah, I mean, look, I think they're just trying to get this guy because they saw him do a little hand-to-hand drug transaction,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
all part of the drug war.
People were not having that shit, and I think it's great.
It's like the end of Training Day, you know?
Yeah,
he thought he could keep bad copping it out here, but his whole neighborhood was just standing out
say?
There waiting for him. I'm King Kong, you can't.
No, but isn't there some where he's like shot and he's like, you motherfucker. There's some.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's
whatever.
Something great. Great movie. Let's talk about Red Bull slushies, you guys.
It reminds me of when I was interviewing for this job.
Yeah, that's yeah. right.
And you're like, oh, Miles, I didn't know you liked to get wet. I was like, what?
Sherm.
Yeah, he's smoking that Sherm. All right, Sherman Hemsley.
I don't understand any of this conversation.
In training day, he like forces Ethan Hawke to smoke fucking PCP. And he says it's some other shit when he smokes. He's like, what's going on? He goes, oh, I didn't know you liked to get wet. Tricked him into smoking it.
Oh, shit.
And then on the Chappelle Show, Wayne Brady episode, too.
Yeah.
Similar.
We should do an episode of the show on PCP.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What? Just a side note. In Dare, I don't know if you remember Dare.
Mm-hmm.
In Dare, the cops would always be like, "Man, PCP. I see people strung
yeah.
out PCP. They're so strong. This guy lifted a dumpster over his head and threw it through a squad car." Can I tell you? Since YouTube fucking came out, even Live Leak, mm-hmm. I have been searching for PCP Superman videos. Cannot find him.
The closest I've come is that clip of The Bachelor jumping over that fence.
Yeah, and that
and
was
I
just,
don't think he was on PCP. I
no.
think that was just pure embarrassment.
It's you know what that is? PCP, pure commitment phobia.
Blah.
Oh!
Wow.
How does he do it? And that has been my time.
There needs to be an award for what you did.
It is.
I know. That's
like
amazing.
A trophy or something.
Yeah, it's called my mom going, still doing that?
How's that working out
yeah,
for you?
I've been winning it 14 years in a row now.
All right. Let's talk about Red Bull slushies. Sonic
Thank
will
God.
Start serving them to young, hungry males is
see,
apparently what
that's
they
That's like the language they're using.
See, and if we're going to serve this poison to young people, why not try to get old people back on cigarettes?
Right.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right. If Red Bull slushies, like, oh, wait, and you're a boomer?
Yeah.
Here's your pack of,
Here's
you
a
know,
free Marlboro.
Yeah. Filterless Reds. So yeah, apparently they're really trying to, what they say, there's like a so-called young, hungry male demographic that is the one that is basically the most loyal to like the fast food industry
God
as a
almighty.
Whole.
Yeah.
And they're realizing, wait, the caffeine heavy drinks too, because a lot of people, if you're doing drive through along road trips or something, yeah, you maybe want to pop in for a Red Bull slushy is the one part that gets me a little odd or puts me off a little bit.
It's going to taste like cancer.
Yeah, I
like,
mean,
that is the Red Bull
Red
flavor
Bull,
is cancer.
Right. Red Bull already doesn't taste pleasant to me. Like, it's fine, it's palatable, but it's not like I'm like, ooh.
It's medicine. It tastes literally like medicine.
Every Red Bull I've ever agreed to drink has tasted like the only way I can describe it is necessary.
What about the like, ones you didn't agree to drink?
Yeah, it's because somebody fucked with me.
Waterboarding with Red Bull.
Oh, God.
You want to drink? Welcome to the cracked offices,
no, I didn't want to fuck. Yeah, Jack just made us pound Red Bull and vodkas. It was.
Yeah, I used to drink the diet ones, man, and my chest would just be.
Just rocking, rumping and a tumping.
Rumping and a tumping. I think that's a fun way to describe a heart attack.
it's only easy to drink if you've just read something about climate change, and then you're like, yeah, fuck it, why not?
Right.
why not take an extra
and
Red Bull?
Suddenly you're doing like metal blast beats with your heart. Anyway, so this is kind of part of Sonic's whole thing. They're doing what every other fast food chain isn't doing, and they're leaning in the opposite direction of health. Like, everyone is now trying to be like, here's, you know, we got wholesome ingredients or whatever. Sonic is like, fuck that. Yeah. Right now they have like a
fuck your health.
Yeah. Fuck your health. Fuck you. We're coming for your throat. And
you don't come
arteries.
To Sonic because you want to live long.
Of course. You can come here to
come
party.
Come to Sonic and get fucked in the heart.
Fucked in the heart. Anyway, because right now they have an all day like bacon and fried egg top. They call it a brunch burger.
God damn.
There's a double stuffed Oreo waffle cone.
God damn.
They're working on broccoli cheese tots.
How is that not murder?
I don't know, but like when the vice president of
When
they asked the vice president of product at Sonic about it, he was like, I don't know why we would do a salad, but we can do some tots.
Right.
And it's like, yeah. But I guess that's the thing, because prior to people, you know, becoming aware of fucking cholesterol or sodium and shit, fast food was a race to the bottom of like who can make the wackiest fucking food.
Who can fit the most foods in the smallest container.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's sort of... On one side of it, you have health-conscious people, but then there are people who are out here who absolutely love or want to try, like me, the grossest stuff, because that's the fun of fast food.
It's for the rolling coal demographic, the people who, like, modify their cars to put out extra smog. That's that was my first job with Sonic.
Oh,
and
really?
I was there for a week before I got a job at Barnes & Noble, and I never even picked up my paycheck. Like, it was one of those, it was so bad.
What a trajectory.
Started
at Sonic, went to Barnes & Noble.
And you were one of the roller skating waiters, right?
No. Oh, no, shit. I was one of
the,
the commercials. Inside guys.
Inside.
Oh, I was an inside guy.
It was bad.
Inside trader.
Was it?
Yeah.
I mean, just because working in fast food in general,
I think it might be particularly bad, but
in terms
know.
Of the quality of food or thing transgressions you witnessed?
Yeah, it was just...
I've seen some
from
bad
the inside
shit,
of a Sonic, you can't trick yourself into thinking it's not poison because the smell is very clearly poison. Like, the inside of a Sonic smells like death.
Like formaldehyde.
Yeah.
Place smells like the inside of a Sonic.
Like, Active Warzone smell less toxic than the inside of a
Sonic.
And
you would know, you've spent some time in Active Warzone.
I prefer that scent.
Also, just briefly, Taco Bell is testing out a churro donut that looks kind of delicious.
That's a great idea.
That's just a palate cleanser for us going into the break, that we have something that we want to eat.
I'll even eat those cinnamon twists.
Absolutely.
Well, this seems like a donut made of the cinnamon
twists. Man, the caramel apple empanada. Woo!
Yeah, no shade on Taco Bell, ever. Never.
And you know what? In a way, that's what I'm saying. I'm kind of take my hat off to Sonic because they know there's a group of people who are willing to go there, and Sonic is for those people.
Yeah, unless they want to give us a lot of money, in which case Sonic is for everyone.
Sonic is for everyone, yep. Sonic is for the people.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back, and we spent the break, super producer Anna Hosnier, informing Robert of where he could get a screen-accurate rendering of your penis.
For candle purposes.
Or bespoke penis candle.
Penis candles.
Yeah, there you go.
You just figured out the name of our new box company.
There you go.
Every month, a new different person's dick has a candle in your box.
just a different person.
Oh, that's
like,
what you do.
Not famous right. people. It's just like Craig.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah, and here's it's just Rick. A picture of him like on his front porch.
Just waving his hands.
This is tennis pro David from Coral Gables.
VCs out there, if you give us, what, 6 million?
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, 6
yeah.
million, 6 we can million get this shit off the ground. Die. Yeah.
Weird Dicks of America. Like, that would be a special series, guys, with kind of
Hit
weird dicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what's weird? You know what I mean?
Yeah, nothing, no, all dicks are
weird. All dicks welcome.
Pretty strange.
And the candling process teaches us all that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We mentioned the Betsy DeVos thing, but in addition to defunding Special Olympics, she also was testifying about her theory that fewer teachers and bigger classes are actually a good thing.
Yeah, well, because all her budget, they're like, you're cutting so much money. Mm-hmm. Like, what? How do you explain this?
Yeah.
And she was saying, you know, like in her written testimony before she went to go basically try and defend her hideous budget, there was a quote from her written testimony that says, there's no evidence that the federal taxpayer investments in existing professional development programs or class size reduction have meaningfully improved student outcomes. And people were like, what? In fact, students may be better served by being in larger classes if by hiring fewer teachers, a district or state can better compensate those who have demonstrated high ability and outstanding results. So anyway, the chairwoman, I believe, asked her, can you run me through that again? And
right.
then asks for a thing that Republicans aren't used to presenting, which is some kind of study or facts yeah. to back up their assertion.
In your testimony, you stated the following, and I quote, students may be better served by being in larger classes if by hiring fewer teachers, a district or state can better compensate those who have demonstrated high quality and outstanding results. End of quote. This is contrary to decades of longstanding credible research like the student-teacher achievement ratio that actually recommended on average student-teacher ratio to be 15 to 1. So what evidence-based research do you have to back your statement?
Well, that must be in my written testimony, and I would just comment to the fact that given, given education freedom initiatives, there are different kinds of environments in which students learn well. Some students can learn better with larger classes, with more students to collaborate with, to learn with,
can you,
and
can
others
you give
in smaller.
Can you just cite what research you're using to make that?
There's plenty of research that will undergird the fact that mandating a specific class size doesn't yield results. I would be happy to have, if you submit a question for the record, I will be happy to do so.
If you that's what she's asking right now.
Yeah.
Like, way to come prepared.
If you ask a question again, eventually I will continue
I
to not have it.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to have to punt on this one. Can you just put it on a post-it for me?
Right.
And I'll come get it at the end and I'll try and get back to you. But, you know, the idea that they're going to collaborate with each other, like what, your other fucking 8-year-old friend is going to teach you some shit that you didn't know
mm-hmm.
without the teacher?
Yeah, but the teacher will be so good and so well paid.
Right.
Yeah. But we're also cutting them their salaries.
Right.
Right.
Well, you don't need as much money because we're, gosh, you guys really aren't getting this.
How do I put this? Well, yeah, I guess the logic is, get rid of the shitty teachers, get the superstar teachers,
and
give them their money, and then
kids.
Let them teach 700 kids at once.
Right. Yeah, just a big school house. Go back to the days where it was one teacher
right.
and then the entire town's
12
kids.
Yeah. In one room.
Yeah.
You're like, what are y'all doing over here?
Hear me out, fellas.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Now that Skype exists.
This is...
Now that what?
Skype exists. What if we find the best teacher?
One teacher.
We pay them a lot of money.
Oh,
and
broadcast
they just teach
the
all the kids.
Oh.
One teacher, all the students.
One teacher to rule them all.
One teacher to rule them all.
And then you just have little, like, squadrons of kids who then teach each other.
You know what? You know what?
Yeah.
I, Betsy DeVos.
Or,
I could be the one teacher, because all they need to know is that Amway is a fantastic
way to make money.
And
this is
yourself.
A great way for you to become financially independent.
An incredible opportunity.
I mean, I want to ask you this, ma'am. You're a mother, right? And you probably want to set a great example for your daughter. What better way than show her that your freedom isn't tied to your husband's? And you can do it with a fraction of the time investment that your husband does putting in a 40-hour week.
Is that the Amway?
See, what if kids
I bet that's the type of shit.
That what if kids were learning that?
Well, Robert has me in my scammer mood right now.
kids need to be learning the important truth about an Amway and not nonsense about the Second World War and how authoritarian regimes arise in democratic countries.
Are we still
countries.
Talking about slavery? Yeah. Ugh.
Why do we even teach them about that and not the opportunities provided by Amway?
I would like to actually tell you about another form of slavery that's being dependent on these other companies for your goods and services.
When the real Emancipation Proclamation is inside the $150 Amway starter set.
I like to call it the Amwaycipation Proclamation.
Christ. That's so close to the truth.
Hey,
how that multi-level marketing
works. Speaking of the Emancipation Proclamation, the Civil War, eh?
Yeah.
That was a smooth transition.
seems like we really got it out of our sights.
Wow, we had a lot of momentum going on that one, Jack.
I do want to talk about the possibility of a second American Civil War. This is the subject of your new podcast, It Could Happen Here, which people can go subscribe to now on their podcast listening platform of their choosing. But so can you kind of talk? I mean, this seems like a thing that I'm hearing more and more from like people on both sides of the divide, like talking about, okay, I thought it was crazy a couple years ago, and now like I think it's less crazy, basically. And what one of the things that jumped out to me in the first episode is just like some of the audio you have of people on the right. Like, I don't think people...
Literally calling to murder their political enemies.
It's
pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a thing. Trump kind of did it implicitly like a week ago when he was saying that like...
The bikers for Trump.
Right, he has the bikers for Trump and the military, and if they push too far, they're going to... Mm-hmm. It's going to be very, very, very bad.
And there's just a little story behind that. When we were going through the drafts of the first episode, I didn't initially have a lot in there about the potential of the president calling on militias and his armed supporters in order to like keep him in power. Yeah. And you were like, you should talk a little bit more about that. Yeah. And I felt awkward writing it because I was like, this just seems like a step too far. And then he said that.
And then he did it.
Then he said that. And it was like, oh, well, I guess I could just pop this all in.
Right. I guess, what do you say, right, to people who are kind of like, okay, everything seems very stable now. What is the roadmap, or what are the events that could possibly lead to it? Because I think the whole point of your show, right, idea of that it could happen here is that as Americans, we tend to think of civil wars and things like that as things that are happening in like the developing world. It's the U.S. Like, you know, people like their shit too much to try and fight each other in the streets. But what are the different versions? Because I think a lot of people think, like, is it going to be, like, coastal versus whatever?
No.
Like, you know, like, what are the divisions that you see?
It would be a bunch of different small groups popping up in different chunks of the country, carrying out attacks with the goal of making the country ungovernable, because that's how war works now. That was essentially before they seized a bunch of territory. The sort of book that ISIS's whole fucking thing was based off of that, like, led to the tactics that led to them seizing an area larger than England and Syria and Iraq is a book called The Management of Savagery. And the idea is that you don't try to oppose a national military by just starting off by trying to raise an army and fight it in the field like the South did back in 1861. You try to render the country ungovernable so that order breaks down and then you can seize control. And like that actually works pretty well. And I think the United States is in a situation where, as stable and as much money as we have, we also have a lot of ingredients that could lead to a really ugly insurgency that could render the country ungovernable. Like they try to think about like how much of guys with AR-15s could fight the U.S. military. And like my answer to that is, look at fucking Afghanistan. Now think about Appalachia. Think about what a couple of thousand guys who are really committed to fucking with the government could do just in that one chunk of the country, and how hard it would be to root them out, how much money it would cost, how many civilians would die, what that would do to people's faith in the federal government, their ability to trust it, like the repercussions that would have around the country, the other groups it would inspire. They just arrested 40 neo-Nazis in Florida with a rocket launcher. Like there's groups of people who have that, like the physical infrastructure necessary if other people in the country were doing it. And
right.
So,
I was just going to say, if people were talking about white supremacists as like a unitary block the way they think about Islamic terrorists, then I feel like they would sort of recognize them as a bigger danger than they are. But because the American media and the American brain has a tendency to just be like, oh, a white terrorist? Well, that's one of
Clearly just a random guy.
Right. Well, yeah. How'd that happen?
Right, exactly. It's always treated as a one-off instead of vanilla ISIS.
Yeah, and whatever. Vanilla ISIS is... great, great term, by the way.
Wow. Vanilla ISIS.
Oh, that's even better than Y'al-Qaeda.
Y'al-Qaeda?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Y'al-Qaeda.
But we're fucked. Here,
yeah, we're fucked.
Real quick, though, I do want to hear, because like you have some quotes in here from people who, like, the right is openly saying they will kill liberals if they try to impeach Trump, and I think we have a clip of that.
Yeah, we have a clip of one of the more extreme people on the
right.
Right.
Yeah, Alex Jones.
Certain Mr. Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You're trying to start a civil war with people. You're taking our kindness for weakness. Do you understand? The American people will kill all of you. If you want a real war, a 1776, I'm not the one that's calling for violence. You're going to get wrecked bad. I don't want a war.
Right.
I don't need some, you know, coming of age deal to kill a bunch of liberals. I just can't. But I also feel like I'm in dereliction of, as a citizen, of my duty, not saying we have to start getting ready for insurrection and civil war.
In that instance, what are the sides, the diametrically opposed sides that Alex Jones is looking at? Is it liberals that he's just thinking people with their NPR bags are going to just pull up and try and, you know, bore him to death with phony
no,
bear tracks?
No, he's talking about, like, the potential of, like, what if they try to impeach President Trump or try to, what if, you know, he voted out of office in what surely the far right would consider to be an illegitimate election. You know, I think one thing, even more than Alex Jones, because his popularity is a little bit on the wane, although he still speaks to hundreds of thousands of people every month, I think one thing you have to really take seriously is the growth of the QAnon conspiracy. There's a great journalist called Ben Collins, who's been covering it pretty heavily, who just posted pictures from outside of a Trump rally where there were like 100-some-odd people in Q regalia out there. And the easiest thing in the world, even more easier than finding Alex Jones talking about wanting to kill liberals, is finding QAnon fans talking about wanting to murder people. Like, because they believe that, like, everyone against Trump is part of a vast pedophilic conspiracy that's also, like, the reason why they're not rich. Like, it's this whole multifaceted weird cult, but, like, it's growing. It's not stopping. It's spreading outside of the United States. I have friends in London who are talking to me about seeing fucking more Q stuff at protests. Like, it's this new kind of cult that, like, we haven't really dealt with before, where there's, like, no head and no organization, but, like, these groups of people radicalizing each other. I just found my neighborhood papered in, like, QAnon flyers.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking scary. And I will guarantee you all of those people own guns.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think I don't know if we spoke about it, but there was that one QAnon conspiracy theorist who was really getting frazzled over the lack of arrests that were happening, because they were like, we were promised. Like,
right.
Things were going to happen. And her worry was like, if I'm afraid if these arrests don't come, we're going to have to go and knock down John Podesta's door.
Right. So they think that Robert Mueller is going to come in and arrest Barack Obama,
or that Trump is able to
definitely Hillary Clinton
round these people up, and John Podesta is part of it. And I think that's what they're saying. Like,
she was saying, if Robert Mueller doesn't start arresting the Clintons and the Obamas and John Podesta, not I will therefore realize my conspiracy theory is insane. It is, I will then have to go start killing people myself.
Well, it's like that guy who blocked one of the numerous now attempted terrorist attacks that almost ended in bloodshed, was the guy who, like, parked his armored vehicle on the Hoover Dam filled with guns and tried to block off access to the Hoover Dam until President Trump unleashed these sealed indictments he believes exists.
Right.
And the president retweeted one of these people a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about a QAnon thing, but it was
a
very
QAnon
prominent
conspiracy.
And it's like,
that was on that weekend where he did like 50 tweets.
What are you fucking playing with, buddy? Did you just not notice it, or are you fucking playing with something really goddamn dangerous? Like, I don't know with that dude.
Right. No, I think he is perfectly willing to, like, create a huge civil war-sized conflict, or, like, you know, a civil insurrection if he thinks it's an existential issue regarding his, like, claim to power. And I really think, I mean, Michael Cohen during his testimony specifically said he does not think there's any chance that there will be, said, given my experience working for Mr. Trump, I fear that if he loses the election in 2020, that there will never be a peaceful transition of power.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows him better than that? And like, I don't know. That,
it's a thing to be scared of. And it's part of why
absolutely.
I worry when people like Elizabeth Warren says stuff like, I don't even know if we'll be a free man in 2020. Because it's like fucking Nixon. Sure, he deserved to be in prison. But like, that's why we don't do that in this country. We don't jail our, even when they commit crimes. And like, you can argue that maybe we ought to. But also like, part of why we don't is because that's why we've had so many peaceful transitions of power. Because we know we're not going to go after you, even if you do commit a bunch of war crimes.
Right.
Like, that's just... And like,
it's the American way.
It's fucked up, yeah. But maybe it's better than having all the civil wars that the Romans used to have when they would do shit like that. Like, yeah. I don't know. But there's an argument to be made. And like, I think everyone... Like, right now, we're all hanging out in like a warehouse filled with gasoline-soaked rags, and everybody's playing with matches and yelling at everybody else for playing. Stop playing with matches! As they like, as they throw them around.
Look at this one. Like, I taped 50 matches together. Watch this one.
Yeah. Hey, you stop it.
Right. So yeah, and you get into a lot more detail in like, you know, what the various versions of a civil war could look like in America, because it wouldn't look like, you've spent time in active war zones in other countries, and it doesn't look like one side versus the other, right?
No, I mean, mostly it just looks like a bunch of people trying to go about their day, and sometimes things explode.
Right?
Explodes, yeah. And like, or they, you just, there's always shooting going on nearby, and you're just like, well, it's been pretty nice in my neighborhood for a while. I hope that continues. I got to go pick up shit from the store. Like,
yeah,
like it's just life for most people, and like, unless you've got some sort of like hardcore plan and desire to go out shooting, like most people will probably just try to keep their shit together.
Yeah, like just keep your eyes low and
yeah, don't make a big thing and hope it ends. Which is why so many civil wars end with a dictator in charge, like in Syria, where eventually enough people are like, I just want it to be over.
Yeah,
like yeah,
they're like, fine, this guy promised no more shooting.
Yeah,
right.
Look, when I listened to the episode, the trailer, I was freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, not like, because it's a very, very troubling idea to try and have to wrestle with, that like that level of instability and violence could actually just break out in the United States. And I know your intention is not to freak people out or just be necessarily fear-mongering, but I think it's what is sort of your goal, I think, in presenting people with this information?
I'm trying to think of it sort of like a vaccine, in the hopes that like if you talk about this enough and get this out enough to people and like get this idea in people's heads of like how much of it, and rather than just talk about a civil war and like this, like, yeah, and you should buy this, you should buy that, is like this sort of aspirational thing, which it's been on the far right for a while. You talk about how much it would suck, exactly what would happen, exactly how difficult it would be to contain once it gets started. And then like at the end, like the last episode is going to be trying to talk about the concrete actions people can take to try to make it less likely. Like the goal of this is to inform people of the danger. Like, it's not fear-mongering in the way that, like, if I see that you're looking at your phone while you're driving and you, like, turn a corner and are headed towards a wall, if I say, Miles, there's a fucking wall!
Right.
Like, that's the goal. Like, that's the goal, is to be like, there's a fucking wall out there, and, like, maybe look at the wall and see about pumping them brakes.
Yeah, because I think that's sort of the effect it has, is because it's sort of, you're able to sort of concretely see what a reality like that could look like. And we already do. I think as Americans, you try not to ever entertain that because it's just a chilling thought. But when you look at sort of the kind of rhetoric that's happening, it's something definitely that like people have increasingly become, you know, afraid of, especially with the increased number of like violent attacks and the sort of ideology of these people.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that this is kind of a first time that somebody is really bringing up the possibility of a second American Civil War in like sort of center to left media is like not first time anyone's bringing it up, but really like,
I think
it
was in 2016 with that Cracked article.
Right.
Yeah.
But this is something that has been talked about on the right constantly for years and years.
Since
and years.
I was fucking 18 and going to gun shows in Texas.
Right.
It
like
was
they
like the
have,
only thing people talk
they've
about.
They've been horny for a civil war for so long. So that's also something that your show helped me realize.
And it's a real win-win for me from a content creator standpoint, because if there is a civil war, then I'm the guy who called it. And if there's not a civil war, then I get to take credit for there not being a civil war. Yeah. I saved everybody's life.
That's
so it's
great.
It really works out great for me one way
You're
or the other.
You're also the one who's most well-prepared, since you have that stash of heavy artillery.
I mean,
back here.
Look, medium. I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Robert, but like, if there is no civil war, I'm going to have to give that up to Kendall Jenner.
in that Pepsi commercial.
Yeah.
Oh, because she did hand that cop a Pepsi. Yep.
And I'm just saying, and I know you might want to point to this podcast as maybe being there, but I see that as the real
origin. Just imagine origin aliens point. In like 1,500 years, and that's the point at which Earth yeah. began to heal.
Right. Yeah. We're worshiping a golden statue of Kendall Jenner in the Pepsi commercial.
That did change things, man.
It really did.
Like, when can you picture the Pepsi, like, ad executives talking, like, thinking about, like, 20 years from now, man? This is going to be a moment.
This is going to be a
moment. This is going to be a cultural watershed.
It's a mom, dude.
It's like when Apple stopped 1984 from happening in 1984
right.
by doing that ad.
That commercial.
Yeah.
Titled 1984. We broke the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, smartphones have saved us and made us completely impervious to authoritarian oversight.
And so happy.
Yes. Super, super cool utopia they brought us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super cool utopia. Your next podcast. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And a couple interesting details from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
From behind the scenes.
Ooh.
Yeah. If you've watched Game of Thrones, you know there are some pretty intense battle scenes.
Gnar, dude.
With
Sicky Gnar.
It's kind of on par with movies like Gladiator, Braveheart, Lord of the Rings, except not like Braveheart when in the background you can see the guys faking and like playing. Have you
oh,
seen
really?
That? Yeah, there's a great one where like it cuts.
Like the fake sword fighting?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like they heard someone yell cut or something, so they like do
just
like.
Stopped?
Yeah,
oh, like stopped. They're just dicking around?
Yeah.
They're clearly having
oh,
fun with
I
it.
Love yeah. I mean, look, it's hard to get fucking what, like hundreds of actors on the same page at
yeah.
once, especially in a battle scene. Well, I think that's what's kind of interesting about those Game of Thrones ones is that, I mean, we've heard, you know, little things from the set. And remarkably, it doesn't seem like a horribly injury-riddled set. I mean, I'm sure there are injuries, but like, you know, for example, like in Gladiator, right?
Yeah.
Russell Crowe, like, broke his entire body. He lost all feeling in his right forefinger for 2 years because of a sword fight thing that went wrong. He aggravated an Achilles tendon injury. He broke a foot bone, cracked his hip bone, popped a few bicep tendons out of their sockets. He was fucked up from these scenes. And, you know, like, the good scenes, they look intense. And
it's a great looking movie. Like,
yeah.
Viggo Mortensen, the same thing in the first Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah,
he broke his foot
helmet.
Kicking. You can see on his face that
and
he just
goes,
broke his foot.
Like, he screams out. But it kind of works in the scene because
really,
they're all
it really
mad. Because what, they lost, like, Pippin.
Yeah, it's right after Boromir dies.
Yeah,
and he's
right.
He's like, ah.
Yeah, kicks it and yelps.
They lost a couple weeks of filming is what they lost.
Yeah.
Am I right?
The producer over here.
Am I right, Lang? Producers out there.
Hey, we're falling behind, man. So we find out from the stunt coordinator, like Game of Thrones, they basically, like any risky situation involving many people, like a massive battle scene or retirement home orgy, they use safe words. To make sure that nobody is hurt. Because a lot of these scenes, you know, people are like, like, it's just chaos, but they have little safe words. So according to one of the stunt coordinators, Raleigh Earlham, they said that they keep the set safe by using a safe word. When we're doing these battles and people are screaming and crying and dying, you might not know if someone's in trouble, he explains. So our safe word has always been banana. So if someone started shouting banana at the top of their voice, you'd know they're in trouble.
That's interesting.
So someone's just having to listen out, like set medics and like the AD or whoever is just being like, do I hear? No.
That's interesting because that might be an insight that bananas don't exist in the Game of Thrones universe. Because,
oh, wow.
Like, otherwise, why wouldn't they be saying banana?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're staying in character.
I mean, I think it's just more to signal to the crew. That
no, but, like, I, think about it,
okay.
Miles. I want
I mean,
you to think about
hmm.
it.
What do dying soldiers always scream on the battlefield?
Banana!
Banana, exactly.
Right.
As chillingly brought to life in Saving Private
Somebody
Ryan.
Somebody
yeah.
tell my wife, banana. Yeah.
So work smarter, not
also,
harder.
Also, safe words aren't just for retirement home orgies, Miles.
I know.
Why did you take us to a retirement
home? Well,
I'm
just, I can only use what's in my wheelhouse.
Oh, okay. So that's your kink.
Is retirement home orgies?
Yeah, I used to.
I will not
custodian.
Yuck your yum.
No, please don't.
All right. And finally.
All right.
Now, with a retirement home orgy, Miles,
mm-hmm.
I got to ask, is it a Vaseline situation?
Like, oh, yeah.
What is your. Because you need that extra, like. The fucking, the Walgreens lube ain't got it.
Hey, man, you ever try skiing in a rock quarry?
It ain't happening, bro.
Oh, God.
Skiing in Rockport.
Also,
you
no way.
No, you said that, and that is forever.
Yeah.
That is. You ever try skiing in a rock quarry? Holy shit. What a sick fuck.
Oh,
anyway.
Good God.
All right, I gotta go.
Well, Robert, it has been a damn pleasure having you, as always.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Where can people find you?
On the Twits, Tweetbox, the Twatter, at I Write Okay. And I have a podcast called Behind the Bastards. It's a podcast.
Never heard of it.
Bad people talk about them. And also, It Could Happen Here, about how it could happen here.
Oh.
Civil War! Hey, it could happen. Mm-hmm. Remember Mick World?
No.
The commercials from the 90s?
Where it was hey, it could happen.
Hey,
yeah,
it could happen.
Because it's all the fantasies the kids have. Yeah, okay, yeah.
I thought you were singing the Guns N' Roses Civil War song.
Oh, no.
I don't need y'all Civil War.
Talking about my racist dream of an Irish takeover of the planet.
Wow.
What?
Mick World.
Oh, Mick World. Racist against my people.
And no, against all other people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I support the Mick World.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, man. Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
No.
All right.
All my tweets are depressing.
Anyone else's tweets you've been enjoying?
I mean, I found that
video. He's like, I love this one from the Disney Channel.
I found that video of the newsroom where the guy says yeet and it breaks your heart on Twitter.
Yeah, let's play that for people.
Hold on, yeah. Let me just bust this for the kids real quick.
That is the thing on Twitter that had, like, it hit me like a bullet.
Yeah, and I know, again, this is kind of, you know, talking about some heavy stuff, but let me just allow you to take you away to when people act like children and really relate to the youth.
Act like what they assume children say, having never met one.
Right.
Good morning, TPS students. It is testing week, and it's time to slay all day.
Yeet. Stay woke, yeet. Be on fleek, and get that Gucci breakfast.
Goals. Gucci. Say bye, Felicia, to that testing stress. Weather's going to be turnt, right, Chris?
Yes. Toledo weather going to be V-lit during testing week. A hundo P chance of success.
Wow.
You've got
the weatherman
this, kids.
Is best.
How about that traffic? Are we looking better than We're talking turn, FOMO, won't be an issue. No traffic problems around any TPS schools to keep you from taking those tests.
It's like,
get a good night's sleep, do your best. In fact, be extra, extra.
We here at WTOL are V proud of you.
Good luck
on your test, TPS students.
It's like if in 1,000 years there were a Renaissance fair themed after right now.
Right.
It's like how people will talk. Like,
yeet, my good man.
Yeet, sirrah. On the fleek, sir.
No.
Hello, what is Poppington tonight, sir? I'm finna get turnt up.
Ah, Miles.
And I heard my man them coming up to me, Tom Bout. Like, oh my God.
Jesus God.
Mandem. Oh, shoot. Me, I'm at Twitter and Instagram. Those are my handles.
Oh, damn, man.
Just took over, baby.
Dude, yeah. You could make some serious bank off of those.
Pure confidence. At Miles of Gray. Okay.
Okay.
I'd admit it. That's what it was.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, there was a couple tweets. I'll be like, let me tell you about them. One of them, actually, two of them are both from at Dan White. One is just a photo of this dude on a, like, with one of those water jet packs. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, those water powered jet packs. And it's like an action shot of a dude just flying through the air. And the caption around is like, my ex stepson, Colton, just texted me this photo of my ex wife's new live in boyfriend, Sean, and wrote, Sean says, what up? Don't respond.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this image, though, is so stupid. And another one from @AndWhite. Talk about toxic masculinity. Perfect weather for our cabin weekend, and I just spent 6 hours on the couch with horrible stomach pains after my brother and his friends convinced me to do a fart bong. Just leave it there.
Just leave it
there.
Right where it is.
And I know this will be something you Google search tonight.
Yeah. You should give it a shot. A couple tweets I've been enjoying. Kim Beans at Kimmy Monte tweeted, if Fred Flintstone uses his feet to power his automobile, then why doesn't he just walk to work? He's basically just carrying his car everywhere.
Damn.
That really fucked me up.
Yeah, that fucking ruins
my
whole childhood.
Shit.
Yeah.
He's really just doing doing a lot of work. I mean, maybe that's what they had instead of like man purses back then.
What if the whole city is angled so that all of the roads are downhill?
Because then it, what about the way back?
Huh?
How about the way back? You're gonna have to go uphill.
Well, yeah, I mean, that does present a problem.
Or they're just nomadic. They just keep it moving. They're like, so I don't go uphill. Man.
Always downhill.
Yeah, just leave your shit over there.
I know someone who won't turn left in their car, so I
Yo,
feel like a whole city
my
could
friend's
work
grandma,
that way. Yeah.
Shout out to Nani. She used to not ever make left turns.
That's smart.
And I would always.
The
like,
safest way
I
to
think
drive.
She's taking like 7 right turns.
UPS has a rule that you can't make left turns as a UPS truck driver.
If you,
you
are
just have
driving.
To go right.
If you're driving with drugs. Do not take left turns, because it's almost impossible to take a left turn in some way that's not technically illegal and cause for a cop to pull you over.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What are the other ways they can get you from like, making a left turn? I know the one
I mean,
hear
I just,
a lot.
I just,
I'm a person of color.
But because it's kind of up to their discretion, because like you never have the right of way.
It's a negotiated
like,
turn, right?
If it's an arrow, you're good. But like if it's a negotiated turn, don't fucking do it.
All
right.
Tips for hustlers
right.
from Robert Evans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on.
Footnotes.
Oh, shit. There you go.
Sorry. Whoa.
This one is going to be from BBO. B-I-B-I-O.
B-I-B-I-O.
Yeah, just kind of does a lot, this artist, Stephen Wilkinson, I think his name. Multi-instrumentalist, likes to make cool music. And this one's called Old Graffiti, got a little bop to it. So why don't you hop to it and get your week started right.
And remember to yeet your fleeks. So,
yeah, yeet and
oh, yeah,
stay
should
off
we
fleek,
mention
though.
That super editor Dan is doing something to this episode to prank us? Right in the butt.
Nah.
All right. Don't stick around till later where he leaves all of our bullshit in. Yeah.
No, there are absolutely no Easter eggs after the post roll.
Yes. So do not listen till then. That's gonna do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we will talk to you guys then. Bye.
I love you. You love me. We're a happy family with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you.
Yeah.
Won't you say you love
your daily zeitgeist
too?
Excuse me. What were you
bad at?
And then
smokes. And then looking with your
all of
like about a part. I was just a little. It I would do a dumpster. I guess in one when a lot of these people need like they notice.
I got taken out that. Yeah.
And things like that. And that's when let's listen to her. You know,
that's that. It, as,
it's very. It,
or
the
she. I've come the other. That
it doesn't take.
Because it's just like. You're
don't.
You know
now like that.
What are? I'm sorry.
People talk about how could you know they think
again. So
Terror.
You might know. I don't. They
what the various like outcomes or
it's
wreck doesn't necessarily it
like
they would all
is it that is a literal nightmare. You wake up before your alarm. No sunlight peeks through your window. It's far too early for that. You're confused for just a moment, and then you hear another explosion. It echoes in the night, rattling the walls and the window of your apartment. This is not the first bomb you've heard, and it sounds far enough away that you know the danger isn't imminent. That surprises you a little bit, the fact that you recognized it's not close. You realize you've now heard enough explosions to have a pretty good ear for them, and when they're close enough to worry about. It's weird how quickly life in a war zone becomes just life. You get up. There's no sense trying to get back to sleep. As you stumble over to the kitchen to grind some coffee, you hear the crack of rifle fire. It's distant, too,
far enough away that it sounds almost like firecrackers, but you know it's not. You fill the grinder, put on the top and press down. Nothing happens. You realize, belatedly, in your sleep-fogged brain, that the power's out again. You wonder which of the dozen different rebel and insurgent groups in your state might be responsible. You don't even bother to get out your phone and check the news. It doesn't really matter, and you've got shit to do. It's still dark outside, and since you're already up, you might as well take advantage of the situation and beat the crowd to the grocery store. As you close and lock your door behind you, you try to ignore the pop and chatter of not-so-distant gunfire. There are days when you do feel like doing something, maybe even joining your friends. But most days, like today, you've got shit to do. It's an election year. Every candidate is doing their level best to not call this what it is, a civil war. You hear that phrase out on the street, though, more and more every day. You reach a crosswalk and start to step across. On the left, your eyes are drawn to the massive bulk of a police bearcat as it trundles across the street parallel to you. A man sits up top in the cupola, his hands on a machine gun that, for now, has its nose pointed up in the air. He stares at you, and you try not to stare back. As you hurry along to the supermarket, you ask yourself the question you've asked almost every day for the last 3 years. How did it get this bad? Did that seem far-fetched to you? Outlandish? If so, let me try to show you why the preceding passage might well be reality for millions of Americans startlingly soon if something isn't done. The Second American Civil War doesn't sound like a crazy, distant possibility to me, and it hasn't for a while. I'm Robert Evans, and it's my job to help you see what I see. 2016 was the first year I started seriously considering the possibility of a Second American Civil War. It was the year I reported on the major protests surrounding the most contentious election in modern American history. I was there at the RNC and the DNC, and at both, I saw tremendous hatred on display. I also traveled to Iraq in 2016 to report on the siege of Mosul, but nothing I saw there, nothing I saw anywhere that year, scared me more than watching Alex Jones speak on the first day of the RNC.
These are not liberals. These are anti-free speech, anti-freedom scum who need to get their ass to North Korea.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast where, every season, I take some fantastic, unlikely scenario and explain how it could happen, why it might be closer than you'd think, and how it will look when or if it comes. Listen and subscribe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.